All right, I am ready to move on to my first guest in the studio with me. Make sure I turn up his microphone because it's all about the voice. And I want to thank and just really a privilege and a pleasure to have in studio with us a very, very highly in-demand person. It's a well-known voiceover coach. And let me get his last name right, Pat Fraley.
Hi. You got it right.
All right. I've been practicing.
So have I.
Yeah, you were sharing the story about that. Yeah, welcome to Indies in Motion.
Well, thank you very much. I'm pleased to be here. Oh. But I got to say, this is the Billy Goat Gruff School of Interviews because the bigger goat, Brent Bambick, is sitting to my right. Well, he actually does face acting. He's an independent filmmaker, so we've been having a great conversation before hitting the air here.
Yeah. So, you know, voiceover coach, for some people, they don't even know what that is. So why don't you explain, what is voiceover?
Well, voiceover is a genre of performance that really came from management. I mean, it's voice over what? It implies that you're going to put your voice over something else, voice over a film, voice over, a documentary. Now it includes all sorts of different genres where you hire an actor to supply voice for games, for audiobooks, animation.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So now, you're a coach, but you're also actively doing voiceover work.
Yeah, I try to be active.
You try to be active.
At my age, you know, I'm 63, so what happens is...
Oh, really?
Yeah. So what happens is, you know, you get hired on a... there's like 30 soldiers in a game that all die, and there's only one general that tells them to go die. So if I get my job, I'm the guy that goes, I'll go out and die. But here's the good news.
Okay.
The 30 other guys have to scream and die, and they always are complaining about how they're raw in the throat and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
Well, this is how, a general dies. All right, I want you to go out there. Wait, something's wrong with my left arm. That's it.
Yeah.
We just have heart attacks or strokes.
All right. But that's when they bring an expert like yourself to do that. But voiceover is also for animation, like for the, do they consider that voiceover for like the cartoon characters, their voices?
Yeah, they do.
Okay.
Yeah, traditionally in this country, we do the voice tracks and then they animate to our tracks. So they have to be very evocative for the animators.
Uh-huh.
In fact, Mel Blanc, who I had the good fortune of working with, I got him in the grumpy years. Right.
But okay.
He's still alive. You can still get a level out of him. But, you know, I always think of him because when he was given the role of Daffy Duck,
uh-huh,
and he started performing it so they could animate the character, those animators were going, wait a minute, listen to this duck. Hey. He was so evocative that they'd say, well, he's not jumping around a mountain. He's literally tearing the film in half. And so they were so inspired by his performance that the wonderful animation grew out of that great energy. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it takes a lot of energy and a lot of performance choices to fill up animated form, either in 3G or in traditional two-dimensional animation. Yeah, it takes a lot of energy and focus.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Yeah,
it does quite a bit.
Okay, because you're providing the voice for a character that's not you. And what are you watching the film like in movies?
We get a script and sometimes we get designs and then
You're not even actually looking at the actual animation.
No. The director.
Well, you really have to be creative and think.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I mean you get something that says Dinky the duck falls down through a tree.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Uh-huh.
And so
uh-huh,
we got to know that if he's going to fall through a tree, he might be tottering on the top and then start falling in. So you go, so you go through the vowels rather than go, oh, 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 because it's funnier if you go, because you're hurting different parts of your body.
Oh, okay.
So there's all sorts of tricks, truth, and technique. It's always a matter of that combination.
Now, this is something one has to get trained to do, I take it.
Well,
or just some people just naturally have it?
Well, I think, first of all, my generation didn't have any training. We came from theater, from film, from radio,
uh-huh,
and we learned on the job. We worked at Hanna-Barbera, and it was expected we wouldn't know how to do things.
Oh,
but okay. Now, in the last, 10 years particularly,
uh-huh,
they have been breaking down some of the skills, techniques, And you have to have, you know, any kind of discipline deconstructed to learn it. And that's starting to happen, and people do get education. And I think it's very valuable. To answer your question, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Not to begin with. It didn't start that way.
Okay.
We were always like a failed theater people. I mean, you know, I came from I started my career in Australia, and I was doing Shakespeare.
Are you from Australia?
No. I just moved over to do a job.
Oh, okay.
I literally emigrated to Australia to take a job. That's how desperate I was. There were three. This is in the 70s. There were three Americans there: Mel Gibson, who was still in school, me, and a busted out old fighter called Gus Mercurio. So I had a shot at young American roles.
Okay, right?
Being the only one. But I did a Peter Weir film, and I started over there, and I was doing theater. I was doing Shakespeare and Ibsen, and I wasn't that good. You know, I was exaggerated, you know.
Uh-huh.
I was great at French farce, but when they wanted Chekhov, the pilot light went out. You know, I just wasn't quite there. But someone called up. They wanted some kind of, impression of Jimmy Cagney in a radio spot.
Mm-hmm.
And I did it. And I remember the producers going, "Oh, we like you." And I went, "Well, why?" And he goes, "Oh, you're big. We can't get the other actors to be that big." I went, "Well, I guess being incapable of subtlety is working for me."
Okay, all right, you found your niche.
I did.
You had to go all the way down under to find it.
That's right.
Or be discovered.
I came back and started doing cartoon voices.
Is that right? So that really launched your career.
Well,
as far as voiceover,
it focused me on what I did best. And you know, true style is
based, that's very important.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
True style is based on flaunting your limitations.
Flaunt? Ooh,
right. You find out what you do well that may not be accepted in other areas. And for me, it was being exaggerated. Well,
okay.
I found my genre. So I went, why not? Let's not hide this.
Yeah. And so, especially if you're able to go to the bank with it.
That's right. Right. I lived in Casa de Krang, which was a character from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles that became very popular, a show that became very popular.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Can we hear that voice?
Sure. It's rather like Katharine Hepburn and Ernest Borgnine having acid indigestion in an alley.
Okay.
But it goes, it went something like this.
Well, a wonderful day to the universe. How would you like to be sauteed, Brent, in oil with a little touch of
cilantro?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
So there's obviously some type of physical exercise one must do to get their voice, their mouth, their throat, your whatever, to do that without your guts kind of flopping out at the same time.
Well, my guts are flopping out right now.
Oh, that's what I'm looking at.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
It's not the cashmere sweater. No, actually,
man.
It's just Billy West, who's a great voiceover guy, says, "We are called the people worlds with 2 1-inch pieces of flesh." And we have, that's where your vocal folds are.
Your vocal
cords. And they're like any other set of muscles. The funny thing is, I get about that is I went to my eye, ear, and nose guy, and he put a camera a little up my nose to check out my throat and stuff.
Mm.
And here I am, you know, like a little out of shape. And he's looking at me, and I was about 55, and he looked at me and went, "Dude, you're ripped." And I went, "What?" "Your vocal folds. You got the 16
ripped, like,
vocal
muscles.
Folds like a. You got the vocal folds of a 16-year-old." So apparently, I have a 6-pack on my vocal folds. But you know,
that's great.
You use them so often, they get very, very powerful.
But I know too that people, singers or whatever, can mess up their throat, or they lose their voice or whatever, or like being at a ball game. So there's something that you have to do to develop it, not to over-exercise or over. In other words, to keep from injuring it.
Well, I think, you know.
I mean, you like drink, you smoke.
Breath support. I do all those. No.
Do you?
No.
Oh.
I don't drink anymore. I need all the inhibitions I can get. So I don't. I gave that up. No, one of the things you do is you support it with breath. That's one thing.
But, so it's from the diaphragm?
Right. And also using, if you notice talking to you in here, I've got a lot of pitch range.
Yeah.
You know, I go up and I go down, and
that's
helpful. For people that apparently are monotonic and they keep in one pitch.
And boring.
They can besides not getting dates.
Girl, can you get excited? I'm working my best line here.
Would you like a gin rickshaw? I love your eyes.
Yeah, yeah, it doesn't work in a lot of ways, but one thing it'll do is apparently is it's bad on vocal folds to use one tone a great deal.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I can see that when you equate it to exercising, because I know in exercising you're supposed to do different apparatuses or machines,
right,
or different techniques.
That's
to
right.
develop different aspects of the muscles. Otherwise, it gets real comfortable.
Right.
Then
you lose flexibility.
Yeah,
If you just build in one way. I guess that's a pretty good metaphor, having not been to a gym since 1914.
So do you have like a particular, because being a vocal coach or voiceover coach, I mean to say, do you have like certain exercises that you instruct or give your students?
No, not really. You know, I always teach them to do everything wrong because that's where the money is. I mean, when I was in theater, they said, always have good breath support. Always have your voice forward. Well, you know, when you're old, you don't have any breath. So when I do an old guy, I blow out most of my air first.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Oh, and as far as the character.
Yeah, listen to this.
I thought you meant yourself.
Well, I'm old, so it's the same thing.
Okay.
But for example,
if I'm doing an old guy, this sounds pretty good. I've made him a little dry and reedy, and I've given him dentures, if you can hear that. Now, listen to it when I blow out my air into him. Okay, now I'm doing the same voice, but do you hear that authenticity?
Oh, wow.
Because that's what they're up against.
You
see? Yeah.
So breaking a rule is where it's bank. The other one is being a forward theater in your mask, as they say.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a lot of characters on the back of the throat, then. If you do an Indian and you do this kind of Indian dialect, it's in the back of the throat. You hear it back there?
You hear a plate?
Yeah.
Or a nerd, it's way back of the throat.
Well, that's where the money is. So I've spent my career breaking all the rules that I was taught in acting school to make a living. So
check you out.
I really send other people to experts on exercises and traditional voice things, which, because, you know, in all of our businesses, you learn the rules to effectively break them on a regular basis. It's good to know the rules.
Yes.
But
yeah,
then you
got
to break them to have a career.
Yeah.
No, there's no career inside a box.
So now you're teaching, is that L.A. only, or how does that work?
I teach around the country.
Okay.
I'll fly into New York, Chicago, weekends.
So is this private lessons, or are you okay?
Well,
you do classes too.
I rent a studio, and then I have about 10 people join me.
Oh, okay.
And then I teach that way. That's one way I teach. I like to call them events because they sort of come and then they go.
Yeah. All right. I love it. Oh, so for someone interested in attending one of your events, how do they get in touch with you?
If they go to my website, patfraley.com, which is patfraley.com, then they can go all over the place. I have a free lesson page. They can go in.
And I saw that.
Yeah, they can join. They don't have to subscribe. They can just download or watch a video or listen to audio lessons. And then I have a place where my teaching schedule is and stuff, so they can find it there.
So do you have, is it depending on your abilities? I mean, for instance, someone that's already in the business that wants to, you know, further educate themselves, get refinement, get that Pat Fraley touch?
Well, you know.
Or say a beginner, like maybe like a radio host that wants to get involved.
Usually what I do is I'll feed them to the right person. For beginners, I'll recommend somebody that's very, very good.
Okay.
For working pros, I teach Nancy Cartwright privately, and Jennifer Hale just had a session with me. Then it's people that are, you know, just want to get better.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Wow.
And I don't know how Nancy Cartwright can get better. She called me and said, I need help. And I said, what, spending the money? I can help you for about 1 week's fee, and then I'm done. No, she's committed to excellence,
as
many people are.
Yes.
In fact,
yeah.
I got to say something about independent artists. I don't know how much time we have left.
Just a couple of minutes.
But, you know, I've worked with, you know, Jonathan Winters and Lily Tomlin.
Oh,
and all
wow.
these.
Did you really?
Yeah, all these wonderful talents. And all that time, I was driving over, I was thinking to myself, I haven't found the person that is naturally gifted or trained that's lazy. You'd think there'd be somebody that was so highly skilled that wouldn't have to work so hard, because they wouldn't. But they all have this work ethic. And I think one thing is that when you get these, you know, wonderful talents that want to go and learn. Lily Tomlin said, I want you to teach me character voice. And at the time I said, well, that's not going to happen. I said, that would be like Nancy Sinatra giving Pavarotti rhythm tips. So that I turned her down.
Oh, really?
What could
Did
I do?
Yeah.
But I was so struck with someone that good that mm-hmm. still even wants to be better.
Always
I see
seeking.
That. I see that in independent artists that there's a work ethic.
Got to have it.
I've
gotta
not
have
seen
it.
A lot of people that are working and through laziness.
Is that right? Yeah, you know, yeah.
The
yeah.
one good thing about lazy people is they're not nervous. Yeah.
Interesting.
It's very, very rare that you see a lazy person that's very nervous on camera. So they do work once in a while, and they don't have to deal with nerves.
Well, you know, we're like practically, well, no, we're actually out of time. But again, your website is www.patfraley.com.
Yeah.
All right. So we can go there and look at all the information, find out your schedule, get some tips. I know you have a free,
free page
free
for all
page?
Sorts of different lessons in audio and video. So that's
do you have a video out or DVDs or anything like that of your?
Yeah, that's on the site too.
That's they on the site too. So yeah, products.
I have a shop page.
Load
How many
up
times
your cart.
Have you said to yourself, gee, I wish I were a voiceover? Well, wish no more. Pat Fraley, that's patfraley.com. Void where prohibited by law and in the state of Wyoming.
I love it, man. That's great.